not invited to those trees. I grew up there anymore.
No, that's all right. She's coming back.
I need the extra. Carlos made reference to something in his report about one of the staff members. And Carlos, I agree with you. I have known Nancy since 1983. I think about a year after she started here. Luckily, she survived the turmoil and trauma. I want to take a minute of personal privilege to thank Nancy for what she's done, not only for the agency, not only for the clients, but for those she's come in contact with. Nancy, you are a positive example of why the agency is the success it is today. And I want to thank you for what you've done and wish you good luck in your endeavors. Thank you.
I just wanted to say real quick when we were talking about who's working from home and so forth, that as someone who benefits from the vending program, we are still kind of struggling with people not returning to offices, to workspaces. And I know there's not been anything in Commission 21, but I think it's kind of hypocritical when we say that other state agencies need to be back in person in their offices, and then we're not doing the same.
Thank you guys. I have a couple of things. I'm very, very concerned about the training center in many areas, and this is not a reflection on Jessica because she hasn't been here very long. I honestly question the wisdom of, let me do it differently. I wonder if the commission knows if there is a plan in place to build the center census. Right now, even with all of the staff trainees, you have greater than one staff member for each student. If I'm a senator, if I'm the governor, if I'm any department head, I probably would not approve of that use of staff. So I think it would be good to find out if there is a plan in place to build the center census, and I think maybe we might want to make that a priority. At the same time, I wonder if the commission knows whether these are things that I've come across as an attorney working in disasters, after disasters. Does the commission know what the fire drill policy is in the center? Is there a defibrillator? Are the center staff trained to use that? Are the center staff participating in what is generally mandatory in any training center, and that is annual CPR and first aid training? Is there an emergency evacuation plan with everyone knowing about the rendezvous point? And if any of you don't know what a rendezvous point is, that is an indicator that you haven't delved into this issue. The only exit in the center, if the front of the building is blocked, is up a set of stairs. How do we evacuate a person in a wheelchair? Using an elevator in the event of a fire is absolutely forbidden, because the odds are very, very good, better than 50-50, that the person using the elevator will be stuck and in some cases never free. What is the active shooter policy of this agency? Not only in Lincoln, but in all of its, I guess Omaha is the only other office now. I think that's very important to know. And have all the staff been trained, and are there regular drills for that? Has the commission discussed the fact that this agency used to have four additional. Do we still have an office in Scotts Bluff?
No. Okay. There are physical office locations in North Platte,
Lincoln, North Platte, and Omaha. Thank you. Okay, so the agency formerly had offices in Scotts Bluff and Norfolk. Has the commission discussed the value of the agency having a visible presence in a community? I would also wonder if the commission has talked about or thought about the positive energy that is created when the administrative staff come to work. Carlos talked about, and several people have talked about, being positive role models wherever we go. If the administrative staff is not visible in the Lincoln office, which is kind of the flagship office, what message does that send to the other staff? Finally, there is something I would like to read to you guys, and I guess you don't have to tell me what you think about it, but I wonder what you think about it. One of the biggest problems that the agency has is the low pay for staff, and especially egregious is the fact that VR staff who work for Nebraska VR and do the same work as staff at the commission, actually they do less complex work, because at Nebraska VR they only have a couple of programs that they run. At the commission we have many: independent living older blind, regular independent living under 55, the business enterprise program, and we're getting some very complex work, and we have terrible pay. And I know that the staff of the agency has worked very hard on this issue. Listen to what the commission law says. Nancy?
Yeah, could you hold this, please?
I can't read one-handed Braille. I don't know how Carlos does it. It's very impressive. Okay.
I have my good Braille teacher.
This is Nebraska Statute 71-8601 is where the law starts. And I'm going to read 71-8605, which says, Commission, Director, Employees. So these are the things it's going to talk about. A. The commission shall employ a director who is the administrative officer of the commission. The director shall hire employees as necessary for the efficient operation of the commission. The director shall serve at the pleasure of the commission. Two. The commission shall have power in each instance: A, to establish standards and qualifications for personnel employed pursuant to the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Act, and so this is the commission shall have power in this instance also to employ necessary field agents, teachers, and other personnel in accordance with such standards and to fix their compensation. All employees of the commission except the director shall be included within the state personnel system. The end. Thank you.
Carlos, you want to take a whack at all that?
Wow, they won like 15 points.
I have more.
No, I know.
That's the limit.
Well, I'm going to answer the ones that I remember, and feel free to remind me those that I don't, okay? The first ones about the shooting policy, we rely on the state practice. We do that. We train the staff in Lincoln. A memo was sent from the building. In Omaha, the state office building, they do the same there. The exits, and I have a hard time pronouncing this, the emergency once a year trial, they call
CPR?
No, that too. But the one...
Drill.
Fire drills. We also do that every once a year. The building is mandated to do that, and we are part of the building. So we do that in Lincoln, and again, the state office building do that as part of the state mandate. The CPRs, we do that training. This past couple of years, we didn't because of COVID, but we are already scheduling that. That's part of what we are doing these days. What else was in there? Then if we jump to the end about the law that you read, it just focus on the part that says all of them should focus on state personnel or are part of state personnel. So your comment in the beginning was our staff members make less money than they are, and we've been talking about that for years, and goes back to, again, being part of state personnel. Voc Rehab is under the Department of Education and under the Constitution. They have their own system. They are not state personnel. They're under the university or education personnel. Now, the commissioners have more power, as you read it, and Barbara being one of the first commissioners, that was discussed in the beginning because back then I was the deputy director, and the commissioners there decided, Barbara, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but not to micromanage, but to make sure that they are overseeing what's going on. So give the director, the executive director, the power to do all of those things. The commissioner, they know they have all the power, but it's up to you what you decide to do. Mm-hmm. So that was discussed several times. And that's part also of the orientation training they are talking about for each new commissioner. They revisit that again. And commissioners, it's up to you to change that if you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What other part was there?
I think part of it was the number of people in the orientation center.
The plan.
Yeah, the plan we have as far as getting more people in it, which I think you touched on earlier.
We talked about this in previous meetings too. We used to have 6 to 8, even 10 students at the center. Before that, there were also just 1 or 2.
14. Just for the record.
We only have 10 apartments now. Yeah, we cannot get more than 10 students. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We only have 10 apartments.
I know, and that's a problem too. You have 6 staff members. So with 6 staff members, we were able to train 14, sometimes 16 students. And I think we have to look at how efficient we are being. Not to mention, we have a great training program. Mm-hmm. And we want more. If you have more students, it's more lively, more people want to come. There's so much good that happens there.
But let me finish, though. I agree with you, and I've been talking to counselors and the staff at the center about that. When I say 8 to 10 students, that's the number that we have apartments. We have staff trainees, we have students coming from other states, we have some of those who live in town. But then for a while we have very little clients coming. We built that again, and we have, I think, was the center was full until COVID hit us. Then after COVID, we're starting to lose staff members. So we're just getting back into that. Now, I'm not saying this is an excuse. I talked to supervisors about evaluating that again. And I told the commissioners in my last evaluation, that's going to be my focus. You know, this last year was my focus, evaluating all of that. So that's why, you know, we are seeing that more players are going to be coming. But yeah, you know, one of the thoughts were, should we close the center and send clients to other centers? You know, that's also a thought.
Right.
So that's not, we talk about those things. It's not like we haven't.
I'm asking if the commission
the board. You're talking the board, right?
The commission board,
okay,
right, has delved into these things. So I really wasn't speaking, Carlos, to
okay.
what you were doing. But I was speaking to whether the
oh, okay, so I'll find it to you guys.
But your answers are still good.
No, no, because they asked me all those questions before,
yeah.
and
okay.
I gave them a good answer. That's why.
Yeah.
And
you didn't say board, Chris, so
yeah.
people
yeah.
were confused.
You might
the, law doesn't,
it.
The law doesn't say,
yeah.
I mean, does the commission know? Well, Carlos is the commission, obviously he knows, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the part that I'm concerned about, there are some things that are non-delegable in any law. And so obviously these things are some of these things are delegable. You can delegate them to the director, but to fix their compensation and the fact that they are startups part of the state personnel system does not negate the ability of the commission board
mm-hmm.
to set compensation for commission staff. Now, are you going to get pushback? Absolutely you are. And you'll get people who say, well, that means... But I would say that it is... Given the difficulty that Carlos and his staff have had, I would say that it is incumbent upon the commission to do everything in its power to set the wages for the commission staff. This law gives you guys the power to do that. And
I disagree, Crystal, because by the end it says all the staff are under the state personnel.
It says...
Except the director.
Shall be included. That means that once they're hired, they shall be included. This is...
No, read the whole sentence, though.
If I may be allowed to argue with
mm-hmm.
you, this is very basic. Shall be included. That means that it's a union thing. This means that once they're hired, everyone but the director can be part of the union, the different unions that we have within our state. That is what that means.
Yeah. Well,
now, if you want to allow the state to
yeah.
mandate low pay commission and director, then don't make this argument.
No, I'm telling you because we did. Barbara Loss was the chair when we did that 20 years ago.
That doesn't mean you can't try it again.
Well, I've been talking to state personnel director, DAS, for years about this. Now, the commissioners can do it. You know, you go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that part of the law. But I'm telling you what they told me this last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and what they told the commissioners back then 20 years ago too. So in their mind, that's what they said. But okay, commissioners, you can try to do
yeah.
it. You know? I did it this
yeah.
past 3 years because the commissioners keep telling me, what are we doing about this? So that's
I think,
yeah.
I think, you know, the commissioners would want to speak with you and find out exactly what you have done, Carlos.
Yeah.
And then make a plan
yeah.
to try something different. It's too, the problem is too big not to try this. That's my opinion. Maybe it sounds like you guys don't really think it's that big of a problem.
Well, can I, since I've been on the board the longest, I'm,
I want to answer that because I served as a chair for a number of years, and I can tell you, you know, let's take a look at where we are now and where we were several years ago. Right now, we're not the only agency or department having trouble finding staff. And a lot of the same complaint is about you're not paying enough. We didn't hear that 5 years ago. But I will tell you, even before the pandemic, I was talking to Carlos and saying, we need to make sure that we take care of our staff and compensate them to the best of our ability. And I'll tell you what, it started when we hired the new executive director. We wanted to compensate him, and we also wanted to compensate to our abilities. And I know for a fact, every time I've talked to Carlos over the last several years, that I have even told him this is the number one priority. We need to take care of our staff people. And he has been doing, I can't tell you the details, but I've worked with him enough in the past that he was doing, I would say, the best he could to his ability to try to get more funding. Now, has it been successful? No. And we're now in a situation post-pandemic where there's a worker shortage. So, you know, this has always been a problem, but now it's obvious. So and the urgency is, it's not like there was never an urgency. It just is more apparent now. But that being said, I know there was a board, we had a meeting several months ago where he even encouraged the consumer groups to get involved and take it from a different angle. But I know one of my priorities as ACBM state president is I want to figure out what we can do as a consumer group to make that process go on. And I would challenge this commission board. We need to examine every and all opportunities. And I commend you for bringing that reading to it, and we can, you know, lawyers can disagree on wording. That's what we do all the time.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It seems like it's an appropriate thing that we should continue to beat that drum until it's been beat to death. And I won't be satisfied as a commissioner until we completely when we satisfy this pay gap. And it is a gap. It sucks. It pisses me off that it happened, you know, as long as it has. So it's not like we don't want to take care of it, but, I maybe we need to, as consumer groups, we need to have a discussion and say, what are we going to do collectively? Because the neat thing about the Nebraska Commission for Blind and Vision Impaired, we are a consumer-driven organization. And we didn't get to where we are as a state agency because of just one executive director. It was the efforts of the Barbara Walkers and the Christine Boones and the Jim Urocks and Pearl Van Zandt and everybody. So it is going to take a collective effort. And you know what? When we work together, we show up, things happen. And I don't think this is, while it may we could suggest that it might be in Carlos's lab, but he's not alone. Well, you know, this is a consumer-driven organization, so we need to work together. I would love to work with you, Christine and Jamie, and what we can't do alone, like Helen Keller said, we can do it together. So.
And let me just say that I absolutely never said that this is in Carlos's lab. In fact, I said that he has been doing everything he can to, and I know that he has for a long time. That is exactly why I believe the commission board has authority that consumer groups don't.
Okay.
You guys have a law that says you can do this. And by all means, I agree, Mark, that the consumer groups should talk about it, and we too should do what we can and make a plan and carry it through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think we're at that point in our staffing and in our agency that sometimes you don't work on problems until they become apparent. And for some reason, they've gotten by with it for so many years, and maybe it's because sometimes blind people accept less than we should. And that's not a good excuse, but it is what it is. And so we're at a point where, you know, maybe we'll have to get some advice, you know, as a commission board, and, you know, I'll defer to Chair Chair Brent, but now we'll do what we can, and if the problem continues to get worse, then we're going to have to live with the problem. So we are where we are, and I appreciate what you brought, and I didn't take it any other way than you care about this commission, and we want to take care of our staff because we do have good staff. So, but he brought up a couple other points. You were talking about the safety things, like, you know, emergency evacuation, things like that.
Right.
You know, and here's what, in my mind, having been on the board for a while, we go through a national certification process with the Nebraska Blind, you know, group, and they come in and they certify us. And I would certainly hope that part of their certification process is reviewing that component. So while I do not know the specifics, I'm kind of relying upon that professional certification that we have for our state center. State center. So, and we certainly can revisit that, and we should find out what's an industry standard, and if it's a concern, we need to address it.
The industry standard is quarterly, and particularly given the fact that new students are coming to the center all the time, once a year means that potentially most of them, sometimes all of them, will not know what to do in the event of a fire drill.
Yeah, well, then we need to have systems in
place.
That's
why,
yeah.
Right. Or an active shooter or anything else. Yeah.
You know, and I'll be honest, this is the first time it's been brought to my attention, and, you know, Executive Director, Carlos, can you look into this and report back?
Yeah, we're looking
okay.
Like I mentioned, we did it before. You know.
And then, what was it? Oh, and then the other thing was about the utilization of the training center. And this has been a problem that's probably been 6-7 years in the making. There's a number of reasons. Some blind people don't want to put in the work that they need to do. We have a very intensive, demanding center. And I will say that I look at every time I get a report, I see how many people are visiting the center.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know we have done some things gradually over the last couple of years to address this. Now, we do allow some independent older blind people to use the center, so it's not sitting empty. And
which is amazing and awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, and I'm kind of thinking maybe we need to do more things on, maybe shorter term, you know, we have high expectations, but we may have to, like Carlos said, we're going to have to maybe lower the standards for people that come, standard, and I'm not saying, you know, entry standards, but I'm just saying that that's an example of things that we are looking at. But if I was a state senator, as a taxpayer, I want that center being, you know, being used to the maximum. And, it's not like we've ignored the problem. It just seems like there's been a number of contributing factors that have continued to cause, you know, challenges to it. But, you know, 10 years ago, I can remember asking at a board meeting, why don't we have two training centers?
Yeah.
And you know, that to me, that's what I hope. We need to put, well, I think you talked about doing the PSAs, public service announcement. That's another thing that we need to do.
Yes.
It's not that we don't have the abilities or the resources. It's just that
that's on my list too. I just didn't read it.
Okay, but yeah, we need to do that. And again, as a blind consumer, a consumer group, we need to be involved in that process. You know, promoting it. And
And just as a point of information, Mr. Chair, Chair Emeritus.
Yeah, there you
right?
go. Yeah, that sounds good.
I have directed a statewide comprehensive blindness training center.
Uh-huh.
I'm not just talking about something that I don't
know.
No,
absolutely.
Because the other people on the board might not know.
Yeah, and we are kind of in unprecedented times, you know. It's I think just the fact that we have probably done better than most state agencies through the pandemic, that doesn't mean that we don't have a problem, but I know we're aware of it, and we're going to, when I say we, we have a great training center, and I want to support it. I want to see as many people there, and it's a cause for concern, and boy, I don't want to be in front of the state senators trying to justify, our current staff to client ratio. So, but I think I could justify we are taking steps to try to alleviate that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this to be just a political decision. Well, we're going to get rid of the senator because that's our flagship of our state agency, and we rely on that to not only train blind people, but it helps us prepare the exceptional staff that we have. So, I just thought of that. But I appreciate commissioners. We'll have to do what we have to do. And,
yep.
And we are kind of Barbara, you've been around longer than I have been. But we kind of have a precedent on how we do. We don't run day-to-day type things. We are more the make sure we have a great executive director. And,
nor should you run them, but you need to understand how they're run.
Yes, absolutely.
And some specifics that you do need to know.
Yeah, and we are in unprecedented times, so but we need to maybe reach a little farther than we have because we're in unprecedented times. So, I've spoken enough. Brent, do you want to add anything?
I would just say that, I wholeheartedly agree that our staff is not getting paid what they're just due. My understanding was always that because of the fact that they are part of the state employee thing, that was not something we had direct control over. But again, I'm not a lawyer. So if that's something that we can look into, I'm all for it because they definitely deserve their fair pay. So that's something for now, I think we can probably table that and just look into it and continue on at a future meeting to see what we can do about that.
It's when people like you bring it to our attention, that's how problems get resolved.
Exactly.
And we appreciate it. Sometimes it takes that person that is willing to call a spade a spade.
I just want to mention too, I even brought it to the attention of the Attorney General a few years ago. I was told again, at state personnel, talking about that, so that was just one more thing. I mean, we did talk to the AG office, but that doesn't mean, like you said, let's try it again. Mm-hmm. Now, most of you will be aware, or might be aware, that because of the union and everything we did, but also the union, our staff members will get around 10% increase, 5% this year, plus 2% of the inflation, or the extra inflation. So that's 7% this year, and next year another 5% plus the other 2%. So 10% increase that they are getting due to the efforts that not just the agency, but several state agencies are doing. And some other positions are getting up to 20%.
Yeah. And I know it's been something, I know it's been on executive director's mind and in the forefront, and I know I've talked to you how many times about this, Carlos.
Yeah.
But did you have anything you got?
I just wanted to say that in my orientation when I came to the center, I did get the emergency drill at the center and here at the center.
That's not to say
actually, that's part of the orientation for new clients.
Yep.
When did you go to the center, Brent?
I
went 2016 or 17.
Okay.
That doesn't mean we should rest on our laurels.
Right. I know students that it hasn't always happened. Yeah. It hasn't always happened.
For new players.
Systemically, it hasn't always happened. know, there have been times where nobody gets that. So just be aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. There's so much that the commission board should know. Now, it's not just about statistics and numbers, although those were some great reports today, really. But it's about walking around and seeing how the commission operates and seeing how is the morale of the staff. What are they feeling? Not, you know, not just management staff, but the worker bees.
Yeah, who I like to talk to are the consumers.
Right? I'm not saying do the day-to-day management.
Yeah.
No, no. But if you're going to run something well, you need to understand every cog in that something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just my opinion.
Oh, no, that's fact.
I thought I heard someone.
Yeah, this is Nancy.
Nancy?
The only thing I was going to share is that we have some new staff in Omaha. We just ran through some of our protocols for tornado drills, fires, typically where they need to be at any given time, and including bomb threats and active shooters. But then after we did that, we had an active shooter incident in Omaha, and there's some really new strategies about not hiding in place.
Yes.
Because we actually have only one entrance to our office, and most of us are in the back of the building. So if they come in the front, you know, it's really about really taking on
being strategic.
Yes, so that's one of the things that we'll follow up on, you know. But you know, it's also, you know, we have fire drills and drills at least two, if not three times a year. And then the protocol is if there is a fire and somebody is not able to use the elevator, the fire department comes in and they know the closest one is the person goes to the top of the steps and then carry the individual down in their wheelchair. Just so that everyone knows. But the other thing, I'm just going to take 1 minute to say, I the issues that we're facing, you know, with staff shortage and this is a national issue. This is a national crisis. Every agency is struggling with this, but the whole field of even teachers of the visually impaired having enough qualified staff. So I think it goes back that it takes all of us to be working together and to make change happen. But then I just wanted to talk about change because I've had the honor to work with three deputy directors. And three directors and a number of deputy directors through the years. And so I think this agency